This is Community Voices. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. This week we are featuring Inside Baseball. Actually, Inside Radio. We're talking to the staff of NPR Illinois. Joining us in this segment is Tim Bull, our chief engineer. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. Good to see you here. There's lots of questions. I think your area, engineering and technology, is the part people least know about in radio. They love the shows. They know the different programs. They hear the news, but the magic through the air, that invisible airwave, how does it all work? That's a short answer, right?
Yeah.
As an engineer, what's your role here at the station?
It's keeping all the equipment, which there's a lot of equipment, running at all times so that when somebody needs to record something or just the signal going out on the air, it's always there.
And that has evolved. I remember the old days, you'd go up to the hardware store and you'd test your tubes. And we still have a few tubes here or there, or are they gone?
They're pretty much gone. Most of it is computer-based. A lot of it's basically circuits. And most of it I can't personally fix. Most companies recommend just sending it back to them because it's so sophisticated now, it's very hard to pinpoint just what's wrong with it quickly.
It's not like pulling out the soldering iron and, you know, we'll connect these two wires and be all set.
No, it's not. And it's not just like a punch panel where you can just punch around a piece of equipment. Everything is pretty essential. It's all IP-based now, so it's very sophisticated compared to what it used to be.
Now, how did you get yourself prepared for this career?
I actually started back probably before high school even. My dad was an engineer at Channel 20 here in town, and so I would help him on the weekends and stuff. Following that, I got into helping at the PBS station where he also helped, and from there I got a full-time job there for a while. And then you guys were looking for a position, and I ended up here.
And Tim came to the rescue. We are very happy to have Tim here. Most of us are not technically inclined, or at least not very far. So then you hear Tim, and Tim comes to the rescue. It's not always, like you said, in your hands to fix. Sometimes it's got to be sent off. Other times we have some other experts that we can help and call and bring in, right?
Correct. We have a couple of part-time engineers that I can call or have come here and help me out on occasion. And their knowledge is always great to have and is very useful to have.
Would you describe this as stressful?
It can be, especially when there's a major problem that you can't find right away. That is the most stressful thing. I love puzzles, but sometimes these puzzles can be very hard to find.
You're a detective.
Yes. And there's a lot of places it could be, and it's just whittling it down from the many to the little.
Right, right. So you rule out this, rule out that. I think I saw you in the board earlier today doing some of that.
Correct.
It happens more often than we'd like to know that, you know, equipment. How many times at home has your computer not worked the right way? Well, Tim takes care of our laptops for us and stuff, too. So he'll get a call from one of us in the office going, I think I did something wrong.
Yeah. And those can be pretty hard to figure out because I don't know a lot about, like, the Windows stuff on it. And so I always go to Google, and you can find most of those solutions someplace.
It is crazy how much help there is there these days, but it does help to have known how to work with it in the past to understand what it's telling you to do.
Correct.
When you take a look at all the challenges that the station faces technologically, what do you feel really good about moving forward and what worries you?
The technology is really advancing quickly. It's becoming smaller and smaller. They're talking you might be able to run a whole studio out of one little laptop at some point in the future because of cloud-based software. That can also be scary because what happens if that one computer goes down? You're off the air.
Right, right. And it used to take a computer or server for each little part of the station, you know, so you'd have tons of them.
Correct. That was nice because then you had backups for backups and everything could fall on each other and it keep working. But this is all pretty much one and done.
we talk about redundancies a lot. And, you know, do we have something that will back that up in case the main part fails? And it sounds like that's getting tougher to do.
Yeah, but I mean, you can have multiple servers, but then you're just wasting space with a server that you're not using ever until that one piece of equipment fails.
One of the big challenges we face whenever it happens, when I talk about stress, is we're off the air. Something happens, a storm, a power outage. Sometimes we don't know what's happened yet. We're not on the air, or we're not on the stream. How do you handle that?
How do I handle that? I always turn on the radio just to double check myself. Then I look through like the transmitter logs to see when it happened, if the signal's even making it to the transmitter, because it could be at the studio. So locating the exact site of where the problem might be is the first starting point. And then you can whittle it down back to where the source would be. And that's usually the easiest way. It's usually one of those two places, the transmitter site, right as it's coming in, because there's a link between the station and the actual transmitter site, and that can go down pretty easily.
One of the cool things that we've done since Tim came here is we've been required with our towers to paint them and make sure that their lights all work. Tim was able to find a company that actually does that for us to some extent, replaces the need to paint. Do I have that right?
That's correct. By going to a dual light system, so a white and a red, so it's the lights are on all the time. This company monitors it for us, and if there's a problem, they come and fix it for us. So it's really nice, and it's been very helpful.
Because in the past, the light bulb goes out on the tower, and that means we have to get a tower climber and get up there and replace the bulb.
Correct. And it can be very time-consuming because it could be a little circuit someplace, or it could be up on the tower, and I can't do the stuff up on the tower. So it can be weeks.
You're not a climber?
No, I'm not. I've climbed about 110 feet, and that's as far as I'll go.
And how tall is the tower?
Our tower is about 500 feet.
So you're not going up there?
No, I'm not going to the top to change the light bulb.
That's interesting, though. It actually saves us money to have this service that put these lights up, LED lights, so they work in a different way. That's really been a good update that we've been able to do. At the same time, it wasn't that long ago that our well past life expectancy transmitter out in Pittsfield did it.
That's correct. It's from 1994. It met its life span, and it took a couple hits when I've been here. So it got a raccoon in the three phase, and it took it out one day. That was about a month for me to repair that.
That didn't go well for the raccoon either.
No, it did not.
That took out the transmitter, though.
That did that time, and then I was able to get it back up and running, but lack of parts and time consuming, and they just don't make the parts for that transmitter.
Was that
anymore.
A tube transmitter?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, so we would have to get somebody custom to rebuild the tubes in the past to keep it going. What have we done in the meantime?
We bought a very small 300-watt transmitter that's running now.
Tim's run all kinds of numbers on what it's going to take to upgrade to a full-size transmitter and to make the housing safe and all those things, and it's a lot of money.
Correct, it is. Just upgrading all the parts and all that stuff, yeah, it's going to be quite a bit of money.
We're trying to find grants that will help us do that. Unfortunately, with some of the federal things that have gone on, grants that look like they were available to us have not appeared yet. We continue to do good. People are still getting the signal with this short-term or backup transmitter that we purchased.
Yes, they are. And I every time I go over there to check it out, I do drive around and make sure I'm getting the signal as far as I can. So, yeah.
Tim puts a lot of mileage on, fortunately, a university car, because he'll take that out. He has to run out to the transmitter sites whenever any of these problems happen, and that's not a short trip.
No, it's not. It's about 100 miles out to Griggsville.
And things sometimes don't happen between 9 and 5, do they?
No. And sometimes they're on the weekends, and yeah, it can be a hard trip sometimes because there's a lot of deer between here and there.
Even at the transmitter sites, people may not realize that when we talk about secure housing, we're talking about keeping critters out, because most of these are like in cornfields.
Correct. They are. They're both of our sites, which are Griggsville and Mechanicsburg. They're both in the middle of a cornfield. You get mice, flies, everything in the buildings. You have to always clean it to make sure you don't have those critters around eating or destroying equipment.
Eating wiring, whatever it might be. Yeah. Besides fixing equipment, I think you like to fix food too.
I do. I love to cook. I also like to smoke meats. For the holidays, I usually do ham, turkey, and brisket.
You had an interesting concoction going for this Thanksgiving. Tell us a little about that. How did it work out?
It worked out great. It was called a turkey al pastor. So it was Mexican flavored and it had a pineapple up its butt.
Okay, well, that's an interesting presentation for the holidays.
Yes, it looked like its tail's feathers.
There we go. But Tim has always got some good food cooking for lunch and different things around here. How did you get inspired by food? What turned you on to that?
It's just I like to eat, so might as well learn how to cook it.
Yeah, well, he's doing much better than I am, so that's good to know. You get up pretty early each day. What do you do? What's your routine like there?
So, yeah, I get up at 4 o'clock every morning to go for a run. It's about 5 to 6 miles every morning.
Wow, that's a big commitment. And then what happens after that? You come into work?
Or? Yeah, I get ready for work and come to work and start my day.
Now, did you start running for a particular reason? Did you play any sports?
I did play soccer in high school, but the running just was for my own benefits.
And you're a soccer fan to this day, though.
Correct. I love soccer. I watch the Premier League and I watch MLS, so...
It's really changing quite a bit in this country after years of sort of being a third or second tier sport. It now is getting regular national broadcasts, big stadiums getting built.
Correct. And next year we have the World Cup coming to the U.S., Mexico and Canada. So
that'll be interesting. They shared it among three areas in North America, so it needs several sites to execute this.
Yeah, it needs about 10 to 12 different sites. So, yeah. Having three different countries doing it definitely spreads it out, but more people get to enjoy it that way.
Right. And football is really the international primary sport.
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll see hopefully a lot of tourism and interesting folks coming here for that.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Any particular team or the country you're following that you're looking forward to?
I definitely have to cheer for the U.S., but I like to watch all of the different countries.
Are you going to go to some of the games?
No, the tickets were very expensive.
It's like going to see one of the top rock stars now, right? It's too much to get into the game.
Yeah, they're very expensive, and they sold out very quickly, too.
When you think about the audience and their relationship to NPR Illinois, what would you advise them as far as technical issues, things that they hear or if they have questions?
You could email or call the station, and the questions and stuff will come to me, and I can get back to you as soon as possible.
What tend to be some of those questions?
Why we're off the air?
That's the biggest one. We don't like that one. Yeah. Right.
Do I know we're off the air? And I'm like, yeah, I understand that. I'm trying to work on the problem.
Yeah, I've heard some in the past, like, how do I use a streaming device? You know, somebody might not quite understand how to stream the station on their phone or computer or something like that, too.
Yeah. Most of my questions tend to be, why aren't we on the air? Can we play this program for them? Or where can I find this program?
Right, and that's another aspect. Your job has evolved also into operations. So you help make sure that programs are set to air and that they're in the automation system or wherever they need to be.
Yeah, I do, and that is another big thing that we did since I've come is buying a brand new automation system, which has definitely streamlined and shortened people's tasks on the air and stuff.
It's really helpful. We like to be live as much as we can, but almost no one in radio anymore has a live body at all times here, and it makes it so we can afford more programs or more news reporters since we don't have to have an operator sitting at the board overnight or on the weekend unless necessary for some other reason. Automation has been a boon, really, to being able to help us afford other things.
Yes, it has, and it's definitely made it a lot easier than the old automation system has.
We had an old one, pretty old at the time we switched, and it was starting to get too clunky to be able to make it do what we needed it to do. Now, Tim also takes care of placing things like promos and making sure things like the X and Classic are streaming, so we appreciate that. When you think about radio going forward, what do you think the future looks like besides smaller and smaller studios?
Multiple stations are going to start merging together, I think. You're going to have more and more stations coming in, becoming one station and having multiple signals going all out at the same time.
And technically, we have three.
Correct.
And it's not uncommon for a cluster to have seven stations running out of one master control.
True.
Tim Bull, thank you so much, the NPR Illinois Chief Engineer, for joining us here on Community Voices. We really appreciate the fact that we're almost always on the air. Knock, knock, knock. And that things sound good and that we've got somebody we know has our back when it comes to the technical. Thanks for the work.
Thank you.
Community Voices is happy to celebrate 5 years of helping us get to know our neighbors and shedding light on events we may have missed. Community Voices started in 2020 as a vision to respond to the pandemic and the need to get to talk with each other more. We've continued that for 5 years with a variety of tremendous guests coming in. Thanks for being part of the first 5 years of Community Voices.